Morning. How's everybody? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Those here in attendance, those watching us online, welcome to service today. Amen. Hey, I got a good title for you today. We are a little short-handed today, so we're going to skip the event and announcements. Prayer requests are still going strong. Amen. Haven't had any updates this past week for the ones that we did on Wednesday. So y'all keep those in your prayers as well. Amen. Your message for today is this, or your title for today is this: trusting God's abundance, the depth of His love in our life and storms. Trusting God's abundance, the depth of His love in our life and storms, in our lives and storms. How many of y'all know that we're still going to go through storms even after we meet Jesus? Amen. Even after we accept Him as our personal Savior, we're still going to have battles every day that we have to go through until we get to heaven, right? And then God will take care of everything for us. Amen. So I'm excited for the message that He gives us today. Your first scripture will come from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse 42 through 44. 2 Kings 4. 42 through 44 NIV version says it this way. A man came from, let me put my glasses on, Baal Shalish, bringing the men of God, man of God, 20 loaves of barley bread, baked from the first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain. Give it to the people to eat, Elisha said. How can I set this before 100 men? His servant asked. But Elisha answered, give it to the people to eat, for that is what the Lord says. They will eat and have what? Some left over. Amen. So they'll have some left over. And then he set it before them, and they ate, and they had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. How many of y'all are glad for the word of the Lord today? Amen. I'm glad it's still true from the same time that it was in 2 Kings. Amen. All the way through today, that word is still true, as true as it was then. Amen. Let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, Lord, I ask you right now, get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Lord. Lord, may it be your word spoken and not mine today, Lord. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, for the blessings and the messages that you have for us today, Lord. Lord, as always, may you be the only one that gets all glory, honor, and praise, Lord. Lord, we thank you and ask you to be with us, Lord, through the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. How y'all doing today?
Good.
Amen. How about those watching at home? How you doing? Give me a thumbs up or an amen. Today we're going to reflect on a powerful passage from the Old Testament. It's a story of faith, a story of provision, and a story of God's unfailing abundance. In 2 Kings 4, 42 through 44, we encounter a miraculous event, don't we? That not only showcases God's ability to provide, but also challenges us to trust Him in His promises to us. Amen? Even when our circumstances might seem impossible that we're going through at that time. Amen? This story is set during the ministry of the prophet Elisha, a time of great spiritual and physical need in Israel. Elisha, the successor to Elijah, performed many miracles that revealed God's power and care for His people. In our passage today, a man brings a humble offering of 20 barley loaves and some grain to Elisha. This might seem insignificant. Amen? A little small amount, right? But in God's hands, everybody say God's hands?
God's hands.
Amen. But in the hands of God, even the smallest offerings that we can provide can become instruments of great blessing. Amen? It acts through an act of faith, knowing that we have to have like they did.
The man who brought the bread did so as an act of faith, didn't he? He offered the first fruits from his harvest. A gesture of trust and obedience to our God. This act reminds us of the importance of giving to God what we have, no matter how small it might seem to us. Amen? When we give with a willing heart, God can use our offerings in ways beyond any of our imaginations. Amen? And I'm sure there was some doubt in there, right? But there was some assurance backed up with it. Amen? Elisha's servant truly expressed doubt, didn't he? When he was instructed to feed 100 men with such a small amount of food. His question, y'all remember what his question was? His question was this: how can I set this before 100 men? That reflects a common human response, don't it? Each one of us would be like that if we had that little bit of food and 100 men to feed. Seeming insurmountable challenges. We often look at our resources and our circumstances, and we see only the limitations that we can see on those. Amen? But Elisha's response was what? It was grounded in faith, wasn't it? It directs us to trust God's word, to give it to the people to eat. For that is what the Lord says. Amen? They will eat, and what? They'll have some left over. Amen? You're talking about a miracle provision at that moment. Amen? They seen it right before their eyes, didn't they? When Elisha's servant obeyed and distributed the food, a miracle occurred, didn't it? Not only did everybody that was there eat and had enough, but there was also food left over. Amen? This miracle itself echoes the feeding of the 5,000 in the New Testament, where Jesus multiplied loaves and fish to feed a multitude. Both stories of those highlight God's limitless provision for us, don't it? And His ability to meet our needs abundantly. Amen? As long as we live trustful and faithfully in His Word, He will meet them abundantly. Amen? So just a couple lessons for us to learn from this today. Trusting God's promises. Like Elisha, we're called to trust in God's promises, even when they seem impossible, aren't we? God's word is true, and His promises will never, ever, ever fail. When He says He will provide, guess what? We can be confident that He will do so. Amen? Second lesson is to give generously. The man gave from his first fruits of his harvest. We too are called to give generously from what we have. Amen? Our offerings, no matter how small they might be, are all valuable in God's kingdom and can be used to bless others in ways that we cannot foresee ourselves. Amen? Third thing is this. We got to see beyond the limits. We got to see beyond the limits. When we face challenges, it's easy to focus on those limitations in them, isn't it? But God calls each one of us to see beyond what we have and to trust in His ability, not ours, amen, in His ability to multiply our efforts. With God, amen, there is always enough. I'm going to say that one again. With God, there is always enough. And the next thing is this. Get a witness to God's abundance. The leftovers in the story reminds each one of us of God's abundant provision. And we experience God's blessing, and as we experience God's blessings in our lives, we become witnesses to His goodness, don't we? Encouraging others to trust in Him as well. From firsthand accounts in our lives, we can do that. As we go through this week, let us carry with us that lesson from this powerful story. Let us trust in God's promises. Let us give generously. Let us see beyond our limitations. Let us witness truly His abundant provision. Remember, our God is the God of miracles, isn't He? And in His hands, even the smallest offering can become a source of a great blessing. Amen. The second thing that we're going to look at is the depth of God's love. Today, we delve into one of Apostle Paul's most heartfelt prayers, found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. The CES version, maybe it's the ESV. Yes, the ESV version, I'm sorry. Says this way: "For this reason, I bow my knees." Before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Amen. Now, to Him who is abundant, or is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask and think, we can thank God for that. Amen. We can thank God. We can give Him glory in our church through all generations. Amen. One thing is, this story does, it tells us about a posture of prayer, don't it? Verses 15, or 14 and 15 says, Paul begins with a posture of humility. "I bow my knees before the Father." In ancient Jewish tradition, standing was the usual posture for prayer. However, kneeling signifies deep reverence and earnestness in our hearts. Paul's bowing itself reflects the intensity of his intercession for the Ephesian believers. We too are invited to approach God with humility, aren't we? Recognizing His sovereignty and our dependence on Him. Amen. We can also be strengthened by the Spirit. In verse 16, Paul prays that we may be strengthened by the power through the Spirit in your inner being. This divine strength is not for outward show, is it? But for inward transformation of our inner lives. The Holy Spirit Himself empowers each one of us to live out our faith, to withstand trials that we'll go through, and to grow in godliness. Amen. This inner strength, or strengthening, is crucial for our spiritual health and maturity and growth. Amen. We also have Christ dwelling in our hearts. Verse 17. The purpose of the strengthening is so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The word "dwell" here implies a permanent residence, not a temporary visit. Amen. When Christ takes up residence in our hearts, He transforms every aspect of our lives, our thoughts, our actions, and our desires begin to align with His will, don't they? This dwelling of Christ in us is the essence of the deep and abiding relationship that we have with Him. Amen. We're also rooted and grounded in love. Verses 17 and 18. Paul uses two metaphors to describe our relationship with love, being rooted and grounded. Just as the tree itself, its roots, provide stability and nourishment, being rooted in God's love anchors each one of us and sustains our spiritual growth. Being grounded, like a well-built foundation, ensures that our loves are stable and resilient. This love is not just for ourselves, is it? But it extends to others as well, reflecting God's total, unconditional love for all of humanity. You know? We also see the vastness of Christ's love, verses 18 and 19. Paul prays that we may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is in the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. This love itself is immeasurable, isn't it? And it surpasses all of our human understanding. It is wider than the widest ocean. It's longer than the longest road. It's higher than the highest mountain. Amen? And it's deeper than the deepest sea. Experiencing this love fills us with the fullness of God, transforming us into His likeness. Amen? We also see, the last thing is, God's abundant power in verses 20 and 21. Paul concludes with a doxology, praising God who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Amen? God's power is limitless. And His ability to work in our lives surpasses all of our greatest expectations on Him. This power is already at work within each one of us, through the Holy Spirit, enabling us to live out our faith boldly and effectively. As we reflect on Paul's prayer today, let us be encouraged by the depth of God's love for us. May we seek to strengthen by the Holy Spirit, allowing Christ to dwell in our hearts and rooting ourselves in His love. Let us strive to comprehend the vastness of Christ's love, and trust in God's abundant power working within us. Because then we will be able to withstand the storms in our lives. Amen. The last scripture today is going to come from the book of John. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 21 NIV. John 6, 1 through 21 NIV version says this. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. This is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed Him because they saw the signs that He had performed in healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with His disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up, He saw a great crowd coming toward Him and said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test Him, for He already had in mind what He was going to do. And Philip answered Him, "It would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far will that go with so many, among so many?" Jesus said to him, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. And about 5,000 men were there. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated, as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they all had had enough to eat, He said to the disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them, and they filled 12 baskets with pieces of the five barley loaves left over from those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And continued. When the evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into the boat, set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now, it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat reached the shore where they were headed. Amen. Immediately the boat reached the shore. Today we're going to turn our hearts in looking at those verses in the Gospel of John. This passage contains, does it not, 2 separate remarkable events, miracles. The feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on the water. These miracles themselves reveal profound truths about who Jesus truly is and how he meets our deepest needs. Let us open our Bibles and go back through that study real fast. We see the compassion that Jesus had for him in verses 1 through 13. In the first part of the passage, we witness Jesus' compassion for the multitude. A great crowd followed him because they saw the signs that he had performed and those who were diseased. And Jesus himself, seeing that large crowd, asked Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for them to eat?" Which was a test for Philip, wasn't it? For Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Philip responded, "I'll take them. It would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Hey, there's a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how will that go so far with all these many?" But what our Lord and Savior do? Jesus took those little loaves, didn't he? He gave thanks and he distributed to all those that were seated. Not just to have a bite, amen, but abundantly for all that they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all they had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." And they gathered 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves that were left over from those who had eaten. This miracle itself teaches us that Jesus is not only aware of our physical needs, but also deeply concerned towards them. Amen. He provides abundantly for us, often using the little that we have to offer. The boy's small lunch fed thousands, didn't it? When placed in Jesus' hand. When we give what we have to Jesus, no matter how small it might be, he can multiply it to bless many. Amen. We also see the sovereignty of Jesus in verses 14 through 21. After the people saw the sign that Jesus performed, they said, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus, knowing they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to the mountain. That evening, his disciples went down to the lake, didn't they? What'd they do? They weren't just hanging out, were they? They got in the boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. But at that point, it was dark, wasn't it? And Jesus was not with them. They left him. Amen. But a strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus, who they left on the shore. Amen. They left him. So he wasn't in the boat with them, right? They saw him standing, walking on the water. And they were frightened. I figure I would be too. I'd be like, "Oh, wait a minute. I don't know. I think I'm seeing stuff." Amen. and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Same thing he says to us every day when we're frightened of what he wants us to do. Amen? "It's I. Don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him in the boat. And immediately, the boat reached the shore where they were heading. They had already paddled 3 or 4 miles, right? But when he got in, boom, that was the shore. The second miracle demonstrates Jesus' sovereignty over nature. Even the winds and the waves obey, don't they? When the disciples were terrified in the midst of the storm, Jesus came to them, walking on the water, and brought them safely to their destination. His presence calms our fears. His presence brings peace in the midst of our life storms, don't it? And the last thing it just does is it gives us a deeper meaning. Truly what Jesus is, the bread of life. Amen? By meeting physical needs and calming storms, Jesus points us to a deeper spiritual truth. Later in the chapter, he declares, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty." Amen? Jesus provides for all of our physical needs, but he also offers himself as a true substance for our souls in our daily living. Just as the bread sustains physical life, Jesus truly is the bread of life, sustaining us spiritually. Amen? In him, we find ultimate satisfaction. As we reflect on our miracles today, let us remember that Jesus is our compassionate provider and our sovereign protector. He cares for our needs, both physical and spiritual, don't he? And he is with us in all of our storms of life, bringing peace and calm to us daily. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May his face shine upon us. May we always trust in his unfailing abundance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your boldness, your boundless love and strength. You provide through your Spirit. Help us to comprehend the depth of Christ's love and to live lives that reflect your glory. Strengthen us in our inner being that we may be rooted and grounded in love and filled with the fullness of God. In Jesus' name, let us bring our needs, no matter how small, to Jesus and trust in his power to multiply and provide. Let us invite him into our boats in the midst of our fears and challenges, knowing that his presence brings us peace and assurance. May we seek Jesus, the bread of life, and find our true substance and satisfaction in him. Lord, I ask you to put somebody in front of us this week, Lord. Lord, that we can tell about your mercy, your love, and your grace, Lord. Lord, that we'd see a difference in us, that we can truly share that you are our bread of life, Lord. Lord, that they would see that that's the reason that we're different than they might be, Lord. Lord, it's nothing that we've done, Lord, but it's all because of your boundless mercy, your endless grace, love, Lord, and your unfailing love, Lord. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do, Lord. I ask you to bring us back to the next appointed time. In your name I pray. Everybody say it.